Welcome to the TGC Sports Talk. This is Kyle Eddington here with your other co-host.
I'm Herb Hufford. We're coming to you live from 900 South Main Street in Ada, Ohio. Today we're talking Ada Bulldog football, and we're talking about the inaugural class for the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
All right, to start off, Herb, I know you're an assistant coach with Ada.
That's right.
What's it like being a part of that program?
You know, Kyle, it's been a lot of fun for the past 3 years. When I showed up to Ada, we had a lot of talent. We had a lot of ability, but they hadn't accomplished as much as they should have. You know, the talent there was good, but they just hadn't really achieved very much.
Gotcha.
Under Mike Fell, he's been able to right the ship. They've made the playoffs for the past 4 years, well, 3 years, and hopefully in the next 2 weeks, 4 years. They won their first playoff game as a school. They went 10-0 last year for the first time in school history. They won a league title last year, something they haven't done since the early 90s and not very often before that. So, you know, it's been a real resurgence for the purple and gold at Ada.
Awesome. So I know you guys have your sights set high this year. I know you've had a couple stumbles along the way as far as injuries go. What's that situation like? Give me the update.
Well, as most of us know, Mitchell Fain, our quarterback, who was All-State last year and poised to be a State Player of the Year this year, went down a few weeks ago with a torn ACL. And, you know, he's been in pretty high spirits for all that's happened to him.
Well, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, he had surgery about a week ago now, and his goal is to be playing basketball by the end of January, actually. He's hoping to come back. So, you know, we're really excited for him. It's just too bad because, you know, Mitchell's been pretty special to our program. He's done a lot of great things for us. And you know, as a team, we're okay. We've rebounded. We've moved players around. Guys have stepped up. We miss his leadership. We miss his ability to read and dissect defenses. And it's just disappointing for him because of all the hard work he put into it.
I know your top prospect right now as far as Bowling Green's eyes. Heath Jackson, he's really stepped in at quarterback in Mitchell's absence.
Yeah, you know, he's just a ball player. You know, he goes out there, he's doing his best to make the reads and make plays. He buys a lot of time with his feet, but he's just a special athlete. And, you know, when he was out at wide receiver, he was a special athlete. But getting the ball in his hands on every single play now at quarterback, he's done a lot of good things for us with running the ball. You know, he's rushed for 100 yards or 150 yards just about every week. He's throwing for 150 to 200 yards.
That's amazing.
Oh, I mean, you know, he's just done a really nice job for us. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy moving positions, but he did it in a heartbeat. There were no questions asked. And the team went full tilt and played, you know, it was rallying around. Guys are getting open for him. He's scrambling around, making plays, throwing touchdown passes. Everybody's excited.
It's been real exciting for me whenever I'm able to make it over to War Memorial just to watch the reaction of the guys on the sideline, how excited they get when he takes the ball.
Oh, no doubt. And as an offensive line coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the big boys up front giving him all that time to run around and do some nice work, you know. We had a really strong class last year, and we've had to have a number of guys step up, some seniors who haven't played before, some young guys who haven't played before, and they're doing a real nice job of gelling into a unit. And speaking of injuries, I didn't bring this up before, but we've got a kid who's playing with a torn shoulder right now,
which may
impact his future roofing career. He's very worried about that. As long as he can roof after he's done, he doesn't really care what happens to that shoulder, but 9 out of 10 kids wouldn't be playing with that injury.
Wow.
And I'm not sure I'd be coaching if I had that injury. That's how painful it is. But he guts it out every week, and he's one of our best players.
That's amazing. So looking forward, what's the playoff situation look like? You guys have been rolling over the teams lately. I know you've got an upcoming challenge. And what's the playoff outlook look like?
You know, we've been pretty fortunate to play and win most of our games. So it looks like we're going to be one of the top three teams in our region. It doesn't look like we're going to get to number one because the number one team, they play some bigger opponents and they've won some games and they're a top-notch team. So it doesn't look like in the computer points we're going to be able to climb to one. It's possible we could jump to two, but it looks like we're going to be a solid two or three right now, which means we'll get to host another playoff game at War Memorial. We haven't lost in War Memorial in the 3 years that I've been there, so it's definitely the friendly confines for us.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, we'll be back after this brief message from our sponsor, and we'll be talking about the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Welcome back. We're talking Hall of Fame NASCAR style. NASCAR's inaugural class was just announced this week. Kyle, you got an update for us there?
Yeah, the first five inductees have been announced. The inductees are Bill France Sr., founder of NASCAR, back in 1948 down in Daytona, known for running the beach races before he built Daytona International Speedway. Bill France Jr. is the second inductee. He really brought the sport to the level where it is today through his leadership and creativity. And the next two inductees really go without saying, Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt.
Of course.
Both obviously seven-time champions. Richard Petty with 200 victories. Dale Earnhardt with 84 wins. Excuse me, 74 wins. And then finally, Junior Johnson. Really, I think probably one of the most important inductees to have in this first class because he was brought up running moonshine with his family. Actually went to jail for a period of time. He was never actually caught running his car on the roads, but there's a lot of great stories with him and, you know, just a great individual. Obviously, he was known for being a great owner with three championships with Darrell Waltrip and Cale Yarbrough.
Well, there sounds like you know quite a bit about this. Now, Bill France Jr., is that what did he do for the sport exactly? I wasn't even aware of two of these guys as a NASCAR novice myself.
Well, the France family has been a part of NASCAR obviously since it was founded with Big Bill Sr. And you know, Bill Jr. grew up with the sport obviously with his dad being president for so many years. Really took over the reins and brought in the corporate sponsorships with Winston, who sponsored the sport for so many years, synonymous with Winston Cup Racing. You know, he was able to expand to bigger tracks and go west, really, as far as the geography and bringing it to a nationwide level.
Well, it sounds like they've inducted five real pillars of the sport. In your opinion, any snubs?
You know, it's really tough to say just with the inaugural class.
Mm-hmm, right.
The only one that truly sticks out to me is David Pearson. Second all-time wins leader with 103 victories. You know, many people say if he would have run a full cup schedule back in the day with the Wood Brothers that Richard Petty's seven championships wouldn't be what it is today. So, you know, and then, you know, there's Bobby Allison, who also... didn't get in this time, but will be a lock eventually. I saw a press conference with Junior Johnson earlier this week, and he claimed that if Bobby Allison would have stayed with him, Richard Petty wouldn't have 200 wins today. So there's a lot of different things. Junior Johnson, he's just a great character. Just to listen to him tell his stories, and I've heard that they're going to even make a movie on his life at some point.
Oh, that's not right. Now, I knew you were excited about Junior Johnson. That's his name, right? Junior Johnson, that's
correct.
What I thought. I knew you were excited about him. You've been talking about how you hoped he got in, how you hoped he was in there. Now, how did the voting work exactly? Was there a cap at five? Was that the agreed upon?
There was some debate going into it. They said they wanted to go with the five solid inductees every year. You know, there was some debate whether or not they would, you know, because it was an inaugural class, to kind of have a larger, maybe double the size of the class,
uh-huh,
to really get that foundation going. You know, some people say it definitely helped sell more tickets, but I mean, in the long run, I think to stay consistent was the correct way to go. And speaking about some of the debate as far as who was included in the class, some people thought maybe there should have been more of a theme to the overall way the ballots were cast, with maybe saying having the inaugural class being really the foundation of the sport with Raymond Parks. He was really considered the Rick Hendrick of the 1940s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He brought in like the idea of multi-car teams. So eventually he'll get in, but really I think you needed to have the recognized names going in to really help start it off.
Well, absolutely. I think as a novice fan myself, if I saw that their first class came out and Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt were not involved, I would have been a little surprised.
Absolutely.
And just as far as in building Hall of Fames, you know, when this is totally unrelated, but you know, when they started the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they did a similar thing to what you're talking about, where they picked the pillars of the times.
Yes.
You know, they picked the people that people knew should be in there. They talked about the Beatles. They talked about Elvis. They talked about the Rolling Stones. You know, those were the groups that needed to be in there.
Yeah.
And everybody else, you know, I mean, you know, now everybody's in.
Yeah.
And so it'll get to that point. I really think it will. And I think that going with the theme might have been come across a little hoaxy.
Yeah. I mean, I know one thing that they were saying is, well, maybe Bill Jr. doesn't get in, you know, and he would be the centerpiece of the second class. But, you know, really, that's going to be a whole another conversation a year from now. So I know they're really excited down in Charlotte with the construction of the Hall of Fame. It's really coming together, and they're going to have a huge ceremony next year in May, leading up to the Memorial Day Coke 600, where they'll have the induction ceremony and a lot of hype building up around that.
Well, get your tickets now, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's all the time we've got for today. We've enjoyed having you. I hope you've learned a little something about NASCAR. I certainly know I have. Hope you enjoyed the Ada Bulldogs update. Go Dogs.
This is Kyle Ledington and Herb Hufford signing off from the Gentlemen's Club. We'll see you next time with another edition of the Gentlemen's Club Sports Talk.